Love you, brother.
Amen, brother.
Amen. All right, let's take our Bible and turn to Exodus, if you would, chapter 33. I have to say, I have a great appreciation for Faith Baptist Church and Brother Ryman and his family. He's talking about how long he's known me. I remember being a little kid watching him run the aisles with Samson on his shoulders, and he turned the corner at Bible Baptist Church and knocked Samson's head into a pillar. And then they were praying for Samson because of some medical issues for some reason. They said it was his heart, but I ain't so sure. I'm Pastor Enid, Oklahoma. It's very good to see everybody here. It's been a few years since we got to come to the August meeting. Amen. We're in the middle of beef country. There was two women who had a farm, a ranch out there, and they had really prized bull that died on them, and they had to go get another bull. And so one white lady said, "All we got is $500. I'll see if I can go find us a bull for $500. So she went into town, and she told the other lady, she said, if I find one, I'll send you a telegram and to come with the trailer and the truck so you can get the bull." And so she went into town, found a bull for $499. She had a dollar left. She went to the telegraph office, and the telegraph operator said, "Well, it costs you a dollar per word to be able to send a telegram." She said, "Well, I got to come up with a word that'll tell her, you know, what it'll to get her to come." And he thought for a minute. She said, "I want you to send the word comfortable." And the telegraph operator said, "Comfortable? What difference will that make? Why will she come?" And he said, "Well, she's a blonde, and she's going to read it. Come for to bull." Amen. Exodus chapter 33. Look at verse 12. I look out across a crowd tonight, and I'm glad to see some familiar faces, and I know that there's been several people. This church has gone through more tragedy than I know of any other church has. And I'm very thankful for Brother Allen, his willingness to stick it out. And I'm going to say some things about that tonight, thankful for the old men. And I want to challenge this younger crowd, because if you don't get a hold of what they got, I'm in between you and them. I'm in between the old men and the younger crowd. There's a whole new generation of people coming up that don't think like the old men. And I want to challenge you tonight. You need some of that. And you better guard it. You better get up and start about getting off of your rear end and doing something to grab it. I grew up in Pensacola, Florida, in Byron Bible Baptist Church. Watched the old men, watched Dr. Ruckman, and never dreamed I'd see the day where we'd be talking about him in the past tense. And God forbid we see that happen. I want the rapture to happen today. But what if it don't? This stuff around here, these singing, this preaching, it didn't happen by accident. And I want to preach a message to you tonight. In Exodus chapter 33, look at verse 12. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I'm asking you to please take me and mold me and make me what you want me to be tonight, Lord. I pray, God, you'd fill me up with the Spirit of God, put me down, let me be out of your way, and may the Spirit of God be able to speak through me and talk to these people tonight, Lord, through me, I pray. Lord, I pray your Spirit be in this room and you deal with people's hearts, Lord. Lord, they'd step up to a higher plane, Lord, or if they're not saved, they get saved. Or, Lord, if I could just encourage them, Lord, to go on for a little longer, I pray. And Lord, we pray even so, come, Lord Jesus, I pray tonight, Lord, your glory would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Over in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, you get a little bit of a scene in heaven. And the scene in heaven is that the 24 elders are around the throne and they're casting their crowns at the feet of the Lord. And they say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created. And that's the scene of heaven. What makes heaven excited is not what makes us excited sometimes. But boy, what a blessing it is to see a little bit of that glory come down here. I remember years ago, I come here. I think Brother Al and I met back up after I graduated from Bible school in about 1997. And we started coming up here to the August meeting. We come up here for Thanksgiving, and I've been here for several of the meetings, and some of the meetings was amazing. Yeah, amen. Yeah. I've been here to all of them. Yeah. But I remember there was a hole in the wall over there. Yeah. How many of you remember the hole? Yeah. There was a hole because of something that happened in one of them meetings. Yeah. I seen Brother Mark get up there and pick up a trumpet and play it while Brother Earl was singing the song, We'll Be Gone. The trumpet shall sound. I still got the CD. Brother Mark's playing a trumpet. Wah! He don't know how to play the trumpet. We've seen people run the aisles, throw offering plates, run up here and jump in the baptistry. Yeah. So it's crazy. I know it was great. A few years later, I went to Brother Earl's church up there in North Carolina. He lived in North Georgia, and I didn't know Brother Earl real well, but I know spiritual people when I saw him. Yes, sir. We went to his church because of some ministry we were doing there at the time, and I reminded him of that night, and he looked at me and he said, yeah, there was a little bit of heaven that night. Yeah. That's what he told me. Yeah. There was a little glory going on. Amen? Yeah. I am a second generation Christian. My dad was adopted whenever he was about a year old into a little Methodist family out of a family that would have raised him as a Mormon. He was adopted into a little Methodist family in western Oklahoma and went to an old-time Methodist church back in those days where they were still preaching hell, fire, and damnation. He got saved April the 10th, 1955. He grew up in that little home there, and that dad and mom didn't take him to church. His dad died when he was young. I don't know why I'm here except for the grace of God. My dad said he sat in his dad's easy chair one day whenever he was sitting there, a little kid, and he said he sat there a little about there, little table there beside him. And he said that table there was a Bible, and he picked it up, and he said that something inside of him, he picked that up, and something said, that's the Word of God. He said later on, he laid across his bed and said, God, I want to know your Word. He didn't know why. He wasn't in a Bible-believing church. And over a period of time, he met my mom. He was in the Navy, and God got a hold of him, and some people dealt with him, and he ended up going down to Bible school. After a few years, we left, and we're in different places, different times. And I want to tell you, folks, I've been in some places because of the grace of God, that it was, and seen some of the glory of God because of God's goodness. I've got few and far between. There's a few places I can look to, a few preachers I can look to, and I can say, when I'm around them, boy, I can see the glory. I got called to preach at 16 years old. I met my wife, have had four kids. Thank God for Michael Shane. My claim to fame now at Faith Baptist Church is I'm Michael Shane's father-in-law. Amen. You don't know me, but I'm Michael Shane's father-in-law. Amen. Alan's a jerk. We prayed with our kids. We prayed God would help them grow up and serve the Lord. Two of them are married, got one grandkid and one on the way, and I'm thankful for all that. Amen. But you know what I'm coming to find out? First generation Christians had to fight and scrap and pull, and man, they had to do all kinds of stuff to get out of sin, and their kids and they're growing up in there. We're riding the wave, and boy, it's a blessing. Amen. But we take it for granted. Amen. I think about these men, Brother Stocker and Brother Chandler had to leave today, but we had an old cowboy and an old cotton picker and an old biker sitting up here and an old gang member. God saved those men from things that if they wanted to, they could have continued in them. And then because they got saved, that changed the way they looked at their family.
That's right.
And they had their children, and they started loving their kids, and it made an atmosphere of love and care and kindness and forgiveness. Amen, better than it would have been if they'd have stayed where they were.
Amen.
And that affected them for the rest of their life. And now there was a day whenever they saw God move, and they said, man, I want some of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I know. These old men, they have something. They want something. I'm saying these old men, they got around some of the old preachers you can't preach like you used to. Brother Mark talks about you can preach at camp different way than you can preach in the pulpit, and that's the truth. And I can see it. We were just at camp a few weeks ago. And I know if he had preached the way he preached some of the message he preached at camp, some people would have got mad. But I want to tell you something, folks. There is a need for some people to pick up this heritage and to desire to say to God, show me thy glory, like Moses did. In verse 11, there's a young man named Joshua who's in the tent with Moses. And the Lord uses him later on, and he says, I'm in that tent with the Lord. And if you find out, you know what he finds out? Joshua, he says, I'm not leaving this tent. There's a reason he didn't leave here if you read this passage. He got a hold of something. It was God's power. It was God's blessing. It was fellowship with God. It was a spirit. It was that shout we're talking about. There was that feeling that God's here and God can do anything and God can get me through and I'm going to rely on him. He's bigger than my trouble. He's bigger than the world. He's bigger than my issues, bigger than the problems I got with people at work. He can save anybody. That's our God. Moses is in the tabernacle. The history of this passage here is that Moses is in the tabernacle after the fiasco with the golden calf. He's frustrated. He's weary with these people. You say, what happened? He had gone up on the mountain and he'd come back down and they had made this golden calf because of a bunch of worldly Egyptian people that were in their midst. They were from Egypt, a type of the world, and they'd gotten them to worship the gods of Egypt. And he's in that tabernacle and he's saying, Lord, God, I tell you, this is just about more than I can handle. The more I pastor, the more I appreciate Moses. If Moses and God ever got on the same page, they wouldn't have been in Israel. And Moses is there and he's saying, Lord, I've tried to help them. I tried to tell them. They wouldn't do it. They went off and made their own image. Lord, I don't know. We saw what you did down in Egypt. And the Lord says, I understand, Moses. I understand. He's like a Philadelphian Christian in the Laodicean church age. You know what the difference is between a Philadelphian Christian and a Laodicean Christian? One wanted God and one wants something from God. I remember the story of Jeremiah. Remember old Jeremiah? He got frustrated with all the idiots around him. All of Israel wouldn't listen to him. He said, that's it. I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm not going to preach anymore. I've had it. I'm tired of telling them, and it seemed like the Lord's not doing nothing. I give up. I'm going back to selling insurance or plumbing. Yeah. That's in the Hebrew, just so you know. Yeah. The Bible said that Jeremiah went along a little bit further, and God began to show him people. I can imagine Jeremiah walking along, and he comes around the corner, and there's the gay pride parade. And he walks on and something comes up inside him and he goes, and he's going to preach and he says, I can't do it. I ain't going to do it. I'm not. I'm shutting up. He walked around another corner. Here's somebody else holding up a sign said, we need to be more tolerant of the transgender LGBT RSTUVWXYZ crowd. And he gets madder and madder. And before long, he's preaching, thus saith the Lord. And he said, you're ungodly. You're wicked. You shouldn't be living this way. And he said he was weary with forbearing in his bones, and he could not stay. There was a fire in him. Folks, there's a need for some Christians to want to separate from the world and from this apathetic, lukewarm, lazy, ungodly Christianity and say, I want to see His glory. I don't want to let it go. America's only hope is if churches like this stay going. And God would save somebody. God would make His goodness in them and change their family. And they'd learn to love and have faith and be forgiving. Moses wanted something. In verse 11, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. You know, if you look back there in verse 13 and in verse 18, he says, show me thy way. And he says, show me thy glory. They go together. God's way is how you get God's glory. Amen. You know, these old men, they were willing to pay a cost. They wanted to humble themselves. Their attitude was, God, if you want me to scrub toilets, that's what I'll do. I don't care, Lord, whatever I got to do, I'm going to get on. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'll humble myself because I want to serve you. God, I want to live for you. Their attitude was, I'll change. I'll submit. I want to serve wherever God will let me serve. I want to please the Lord. I don't care what it takes. I don't want a position. I don't want recognition. I just want God on my life. I want to see His glory. I know Brother Allen came here. I know several preachers, they started out, they didn't want somebody to recognize them. Right. They came to a little town with a few people and said, I just want God to use me. Yeah. In 2006, I moved to Enid, Oklahoma, and walked in on a church of five people, about three or four little old ladies, and one full-blooded Indian who personifies a wooden Indian. He didn't talk. He might say, ugh. And that was about all. And I walked out when they were taking that vote into the front of that church that night, outside of that little rickety outside overhang. And I said, God, what I want is I just don't want to be doing nothing. I want to be serving you. I want to see your glory. Listen to me, you folks in here that have been saved for a while, and you folks that have been part of Faith Baptist Church for a little while, you've seen some people die. You've seen some people go through the ringer around here. I could name names that I've thought about since I've been here that are 20 years gone. I want to tell you, keep on going. Don't quit. Don't forget the glory God's brought down here. Don't forget what God's done here. Don't forget the people that got saved. Don't forget the things God's done in here. Don't forget the little boys that have come up here. Listen, my little boy stood right here 20 years ago and sang "This One Thing I Know" with a microphone, and it never forgot it. People running around here shouting, praising God, a youth choir. Listen, that didn't happen by accident. And I know some of you old folks sitting in here, it gets old after a while. The fight gets old and it gets tiring. But don't quit, please. Keep on praying for us. Keep on going. Keep on singing. Keep on doing what you can do. I know sometimes it gets to the places. Oh, the preacher, he's up there again. My goodness, man, I tell you what, this is the most disorganized circus I've ever seen in my life. But God's on him. It's because God shows him the glory.
I like it.
I remember seeing people run the aisles at Bible Baptist Church in Pensacola. My dad said when he graduated in 1979, Carl Lackey's group was there singing. He said, without anybody doing anything together, the whole second pew in the middle of the section jumped the first pew and took off running. You say, well, that's just flesh. Boy, it was great flesh, though. We were at camp just a few weeks ago. Brother Chandler, after he was talking about the other night, all those kids running the aisle, the second night he said, now listen, I know y'all want to run the aisle, but we got so many people here, you can't do it because somebody's going to fall down and bust their head open on all these rocks. I said, just let them run in place, Brother Jim. You see, what happened was is that God's glory was seen on that mountain, boy. And people start shouting and kids get on fire for God. Can I ask you a question? Has there ever been a time you got down on your knees and you said, God, I need your grace. I need to get through this trial. I'm going through a problem. Maybe it was here. Maybe it was home. And boy, the Lord's glory came down in your room around your presence. And the next thing you know, you were up and you were praising God. And you got through it. And God moved. And God helped you. And the grace of God is why you're here now. That's the glory. God's presence comes through that prayer, through the studying, through the song service, through the Holy Spirit. Now, I ain't talking about the hokey spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. So what's the hokey spirit? That's the one where speaking in tongues happens. You ever seen some of those things where people are sitting around going like this? That's the hokey spirit. That ain't the Holy Spirit. That ain't the glory. The old men, they saw God was real. Prayer was made by faith and answered. People got saved. Brother Luttrick was talking about today. We're talking to him. He said he's seeing people saved this year more than ever. Seeing people he'd been saved, praying for 20 years. Listen, until Jesus Christ comes, we may not see the harvest like they did years ago, but there's still some gleanings to get. And listen, some of it may be your kids. It may be your grandkids. It might be your neighbor. But whoever it is, it matters. Boy, the old glory comes down whenever they get saved, and it's your people. God dealt with them some service somewhere. God stirred some backslider's heart, and they came crying to an altar, and they got right with God, and people were crying, and people were singing, and people were shouting, and some bus kid been prayed for years, and finally they come down the altar, and they got saved, and there's not a mom and daddy to care about them, and you love them, and listen, God does that. I'm going to tell you something. That ain't happening in the Methodist churches. That ain't happening in a lot of Baptist churches. Right. Several years ago, we had some people get saved in our church. One of our folks told an old church member where they used to go about it. They said, we ain't seen anybody get saved in our church in 20 years. Now, if you're around here, that ought to shock you. That shouldn't be that way. Glory has oftentimes, let me say this, the danger for us second generation Christians is that we think being busy is the glory. You know what the busyness is supposed to be for? Because somebody was on their knees and they got the glory to fall and we got busy serving somebody else. It's not ritual. It's not just emotion. The labor and tears on your knees is what translates into the glory that you see. Can I ask you tonight, do you want to see His glory? Do you want to see Him do something again? Say, I'm tired, preacher. I've been coming to church for a long time. I've been a saved for a long time. Nancy Pelosi's ruined everything. She ain't no match for God.
Amen.
You pay too much attention to the news and not enough attention to heaven. You want to see God's glory, it'll cost you. You know, I noticed this stuff. I grew up around it. Came here, I've seen it. Things change. People get cold and hard or tired and worn out. Happens naturally as you get old. But I'm going to tell you, Faith Baptist Church especially, can I encourage you, you older folks that have seen this glory in this church for so long, you're the coals that keep that fire burning. So that these young people, if they get on fire for God and a log gets put on the fire, it keeps on going. The fire keeps burning. If we don't have that fire burning, imagine Faith Baptist Church. Oh, it closed down. Nobody wanted to come. Pastor passed away. People quit praying. Listen to me. God forbid. The Bible says times are changing. Perilous times are coming. Ezra chapter 3, you read about Solomon. And you read about the new temple. Old Nehemiah had... Boy, he had built the temple again, and there was Solomon's temple and some remnants there. And the Bible says there were some people there that were weeping. And there were some people there that were shouting. He said you couldn't tell the difference between the two. He said, but the difference was this. There were some people who were there who had seen the old temple. And it wasn't as grand and it wasn't as glorious. But thank God it was rebuilt.
Amen.
I want to say three things and I'll close. One, the glory is found in prayer. In being in touch with God. You read this passage of scripture we just read and Moses is in the tabernacle by himself. Talking to God as a man, talking to a friend, face to face. You can find this glory, folks, in a valley. You can find it in a trial. You can find it on a mountain. You can find it in trouble. Moses is in the tabernacle. He's up. He's in there, and the glory of God comes down on the tabernacle by himself.
Amen.
I understand we love getting together, and glorious times it is. But boy, God will come down and he'll work in your heart and he'll comfort your soul and he'll give you something that you can't even begin to imagine.
Amen.
By yourself. Moses on the mountain whenever the cloud comes down and he gives him the Ten Commandments. You read about David. He's out in the field singing the songs of Zion with his old harp. Just a worshiping God. That's where he learned who God was. David's on the road, if you remember the story, bringing after his king, bringing the ark back. He bringing the ark back and he's dancing before the Lord. His own wife criticizes him. But he said, I'll be more vile if necessary. I don't care what you think. I'm still going to shout in church. I'm still going to live for God. I'm still going to hold that book. I'm going to put the bumper stickers on. I'm going to sing the songs at work. I ain't going to care what everybody else thinks. That's where the glory comes down. Oh, Solomon's in the temple. If you read over there in 1 Kings about Solomon, when he builds the temple, they bring the ark in there after the work's been done. And the only thing in the ark at that time are the Ten Commandments. And when they take those staves out of that ark, the Bible says that the glory of God filled that place so that the priests couldn't minister there. You know where God's glory falls? When you get in this book. You open this thing up and if you just pray a little bit and say, God, I'm tired. I got to go to work soon, but please show me something. And boy, that cloud comes all floating in there. And you read, and before long, you got to go. And you say, my goodness, man, that was good. That was some glory. Amen. Ever happened to some of you? Some of you younger adults, I wonder about you. When I was about 15 years old, my dad said to me, he said, you guys, during the summertime, you ain't going to sit around and watch TV all day. He said, you go to your room, and for 1 hour, you can do whatever you want, but you're going to stay in your room. You can read, you can sleep, you can do whatever, but you ain't going to just sit around and do nothing. I went in there and started reading my Bible, just a habit for some reason. Got down on my knees and prayed, and I remember waking up after that prayer, waking up and opening my eyes and saying to myself, I was just in the presence of God. Say, how do you know? The glory. Yeah. I'm not talking about some spooky feeling that came over me. The Lord was there. Yeah. Say, I don't know if I agree with you. Try it.
Yeah.
Get down on your knees and put your stupid cell phone away.
Come on. Yeah.
Turn it off.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, y'all know they got a new app for checking your weight. It's a scale. You download the app on the app store, you turn it on, and you stand on top of your phone. Only works once. Some of you need to use it. It'll get rid of your cell phone. And maybe you'll have time to pray. You're going to have to take the time for that. But it's a personal time. Over in Psalms chapter 63, you don't have to turn over there. If you want to, you can. Psalms chapter 63, David says this in verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Is there anybody in here seen the glory of God in the sanctuary?
Yeah.
What a blessing. I'll say it's the fruit of the goodness of God being remembered. You know, God's good. I believe it wasn't just a few minutes ago there were some ladies that got up here and started singing about His mercy. There were some people singing about the goodness of God. I was thinking today about just how good God is. He's good. It isn't possible to say how good He is. But He's good. I don't mean that to be tried. I mean it's impossible to measure the goodness of God. I mean, imagine if He was a bad God. Imagine if he had His clique of people that He liked, and the ones that He didn't like, He just wiped them out. I wonder who He'd pick. I wonder if He was just as good as you and me, what kind of God He'd be. You know what the goodness in you and I is? It's from Him. He's the well. He's the well of goodness. You know what happens when revival happens? You start remembering the goodness of God. You know that family you got? That's the goodness of God. You know, being in a church where they believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, that's the goodness of God. You young people that got parents in here that love you, I know it seemed like they won't let you spend the night with nobody and you can't get away with nothing. That's the goodness of God. I'm trying not to preach to the young people. I understand they need it and all that stuff, but let's just think about it for just a minute. Isn't God good to you? You're not in a hospital tonight. There are some of the members of this church that are in places that 10 years ago they weren't physically. Aren't you glad you can still be here? We're going to have hot dogs and nachos afterward. We live in America. We still can get together and preach like this and sing like this. God's been good. You start thinking about the goodness of God and all of a sudden the glory comes in. Boy, he's been good. I'll tell you another thing. You start thinking about, the Bible said over there in Exodus 33, he said, my goodness shall pass through before thee. All my goodness shall pass before thee. You can't get it all, but boy, it's good. He said, the name of the Lord's going to be proclaimed. In the name of Jesus, a great name. I remember years ago, a couple of folks I was talking to Brother Allen about it the other day got up in this pulpit. One was a Haitian. One was from Iran. And they sang, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. And everybody was going nuts. You couldn't hear the rest of the song. You know why? Because, boy, that name's good. That's the name that saved you. That's the one that we're dependent on. He's our hero. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. Whenever somebody says, how about Michael Jackson? I go, pfft. How about Snoop Dogg? I say, put him out with my dogs. What about Jay-Z? I say, what about him? Oh, and somebody says, what about Jesus? There ain't nothing better than him. His name gets proclaimed and souls get saved because of Jesus. Nobody got saved because of Muhammad yesterday. Nobody got saved because of President Trump yesterday. Nobody got saved because of my name or your name. It was because they believed in Jesus. Jesus. His name is proclaimed. That's where you see the glory is when his name is proclaimed. I'll tell you another one. His grace in your life. He said, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. Aren't you glad you see God's grace? Oh, Brother Glenn preached a message at camp on the mercy of God. He said, I'll be merciful to whom I'll have mercy on. Boy, what a blessing to see the grace of God and his mercy. That grace that gets you through troubles. Hebrews chapter 4, he said, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace, greater than our sin. I tell people this that are going through troubles. Grace is like Baskin Robbins. There's a flavor for everything you need. So I'm going through trouble. I got all this debt. Okay, God's grace will meet your need. You say, I'm hurting inside. I've lost somebody I love. God's grace will be right there with you. It'll help you up. Sometimes it's grace for a mile. Sometimes it's grace every step. Sometimes it's grace all over the place. Sometimes you think about his mercy. Isn't that where you got saved? That's why you worship him. He had mercy on you. He had mercy on me. You second generation, third generation Christians, you better remember that mercy. You better not forget it took that mercy to save your soul too. Say, I got saved when I was 5. But do you realize he saved you from all your sins, past, present, and future? He saved you after you were saved too. He saved you after the dumb stuff you did after you got saved. Sometimes we think, well, boy, I tell you, boy, God sure saved that old boy. He's an old biker. Man, his wife's meaner than he was. And you forget about the fact that it was the lion and the pride and all the sins of the heart that God kicked a lot of people out and a lot of people are in hell for today that he saved a little boy from. God sees mercy. You see God's mercy in your life. And let me say this. Turn back there to Exodus chapter 33. You know what he said? He said to him, I'm going to have all my goodness pass before you. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. I'm going to be gracious to him. I'll be gracious. I'm going to show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. And you got all that stuff. And that's when the glory starts coming down, when you start thinking about all that. But that all is supposed to motivate you to go on and live by faith. You see, in verse 20 through 23, he says, you can't see me. All you can see is my back parts. All you can see is where I've been. You can't see the next step. And sometimes, folks, you're going through troubles. You're going through problems. Start thinking about the goodness of God. Start thinking about who Jesus is and his grace and mercy in your life. Now we see through a glass darkly. But can I tell you? He'll hide you in a rock. And he'll show you where he's been in your life. He'll show you the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I remember praying years ago, let the beauty of my Lord God, there in Psalms chapter 90, appear unto our children. The glory. I want my kids to see the glory of God. Say, so why'd you bring them here to Faith Baptist Church when they were growing up? Because I wanted them to see the glory. I wanted them to see what motivated me as a Christian to go on. You see, I saw it in Dad, but one day I said, I want it. And I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Do you want it? The glory ought to motivate you to stand and to serve and to see this day again. To keep the old paths. To keep on going without reproach. Who cares what everybody else thinks? You're going to have to decide tonight, especially you young adults, if you're willing to pay the cost, put aside the video games, and put aside the relationships maybe, put aside the American dream and all the philosophies you got going in your head. Listen, it's not about the color of the shirt you're wearing and as a preacher or the kind of sock. I know he's talking about the socks the other night. Some of you ought to be under conviction, but the reason why that's a big deal is because when you start caring about fashion more than you do about your faith, some of you got to get rid of that. You got to get back to this old book. I see these old men in here. God forbid they quit. You need to go up to them and say, but I'm behind you, preacher. I've been critical of you, and I don't like what you said there, and I don't like what you did that, but I'm behind you, preacher. You need them to keep praying for you. You need them to keep going on. Listen, I need you guys to keep going on. I see these older men dying, and it scares me to death what's going to happen when they're gone. What's going to happen to Faith Baptist Church? You're going to keep on going? I don't know, Brother Farley, but I don't want to hear about him going unless there's somebody to take his place. I was sad to hear, obviously, Dr. Ruckman went home to heaven. I'm sad to hear Jim Lentz is gone. My heart breaks over these old preachers like Earl Hughes because that's where the glory was. But you can have it and I can have it too, but do you want it? Could you come to an altar tonight and say, show me thy glory? Father, please bless this message tonight.